Ignorance was blissful. When it was time to put her to bed so Santa could come, Paxton tucked her in like she had been doing the last few weeks, while I turned on her nightlight and grabbed her favorite doll and stuffed animal. Our normal routine had changed a bit when Paxton moved in. I used to be the one to tuck her in. That job was given to her new mommy, which I was fine with. Then it was prayers, a small story with her doll and giraffe, and then lights out.
"Ready for prayers?" Paxton asked while kissing Chloe on the forehead. "Yes."
Closing her eyes, Chloe started her prayers, which were exactly the same every night, with a few changes when need be.
"Please bless my teacher, Paxton. Please bless all my friends. Please bless Sam, Bill, Lady, Allure, Marley, Little Bill, Harley, Chip, Milo, Buddy, all the goats, especially Patches, 'cause he's my goat Granddaddy gave me, and all the cows and all the wildlife in the whole wide world. Please bless my Grammy and Granddaddy and my new Gran and Pops. That's what they want to be called, 'cause I asked them and tonight I can officially call them that."
My eyes lifted to Paxton's. We both smiled, and she quickly wiped away a tear.
"Please bless all my aunts and uncles. There's too many to name."
That part always made me laugh, since she pretty much just named 4 horses, 2 cats, and 2 dogs, along with half the damn ranch animals in her prayers.
"And please bless Daddy and my new mommy. It's Paxton, God. I know that might confuse you, 'cause she's my teacher, too."
My heart felt light. A happiness so overwhelming hit me in the chest, and I had to force myself not to cry. One look at Paxton told me she felt the same way.
"And one more thing, God. Please bring me a baby brother or sister. Amen."
Paxton and I glanced over at each other, and she smiled. We had already talked about telling Chloe first before announcing it to the whole family tomorrow. It would make it more special for Chloe, Paxton had said. I leaned over and kissed my daughter's cheek. "Pumpkin, God has already answered your prayer." With a look of wonderment, she asked,
"Which one, Daddy?"
Peeking over to Paxton, she took Chloe's hand and put it on her stomach.
"I've got a baby growing in my tummy, Chloe Cat. A little baby brother or sister."
Chloe sat up. She had been so emotional when we announced we were getting married, I wasn't sure what she would do with this news. Her eyes filled with tears, and I held my breath. I hated seeing her cry.
"Is it true? Daddy, is it true Mommy has my baby brother or sister in there?"
I nodded. "It is. Does that make you happy?" She jumped up and threw her arms around me.
"Thank you for bringing us home, Daddy. Thank you."
I held her tightly and squeezed my eyes. "Oh, baby, I love you." When she pulled back, her tears were streaming.
"I love you, too."
She turned to Paxton and wrapped her little arms around her neck.
"I love you so much, Mommy. Thank you for loving me and giving me a baby brother or sister. Thank you so much."
Chloe was now sobbing, and so was Paxton. Each of them held on to each other as if their lives depended on it.
"Oh, Chloe Cat, I love you so much, too."
When my girls finally stopped crying, Chloe climbed back under the covers, folded her hands in prayers, and smiled.
"P.S. Dear God, thank you for going so fast on the baby brother or sister, and thank you for helping Daddy find my mommy. He's been looking for a long time. His eyes aren't sad anymore thanks to Mommy's love."
Air rushed into my lungs. I stared at Chloe as she took her doll and stuffed goat and snuggled with them.
"I better get to sleep or Santa won't come."
Paxton and I slowly stood, both of us in silent shock. I was positive that had affected Paxton as much as it did me. We each kissed Chloe goodnight.
"Night, Pumpkin,"
I whispered against her forehead.
"Night."
Brushing her hair from her face, Paxton kissed her on the cheek.
"Good night, my sweet Chloe Cat."
She smiled and mumbled something before drifting off to sleep. Taking Paxton's hand in mine, I led her out of the bedroom, down the hall and stairs, and straight to our bedroom. When I shut the door, we faced each other. "That was the most amazing moment of my life," I said. She nodded and wiped away a tear.
"I thought the same thing."
My hand slipped behind her head, and I drew her to me. Gently kissing her lips, I softly spoke against them. "I'm going to make love to you now, Pax."
What about Santa coming and leaving all the gifts? She asked.
With a wink, I said. Even Santa takes time to enjoy the milk and cookies left out. Paxton laughed and hit me on the chest.
You're bad.
Not yet, baby. Lifting her shirt over her head, I dropped it to the ground. I'm going to kiss every inch of your body as I whisper Mrs. Steed Parker against your creamy skin.
Steed, she gasped a needy breath.
Undoing her bra, I pulled it from her arms and threw it onto the t-shirt. Grabbing the waist of her sweats, I pulled them, along with her panties, slowly down and off her legs until she stood in front of me naked. Twice in the last few hours I had gotten to undress her. The first time left me with blue balls as I stared at my wife in her wedding gown, and then those lace panties. It took everything out of me not to make love to her then. I pressed my lips under her belly button while her hands combed through my hair, and she let out a soft whimper.
You are my life, Mrs. Steed Parker. The reason I breathe.
My heart beats right along with yours, and I can't imagine a world without you in it. Dropping my forehead to her stomach, I took in a deep breath.
You're everything I ever wanted.
Lifting my eyes to hers, I smiled. Our love was never lost because it stayed with me. Always. She dug her teeth into her lip, trying to hold back her emotions as I kissed her stomach. Our child was in there, and that knowledge about knocked me over.
I'd lay my life down for you and our kids.
Standing, I cupped her face in my hands and brushed her tears with my thumbs. My lips brushed over hers.
My life.
Smiling against my lips, she replied,
My love.
Epilogue. Paxton. 3 months later. Sitting on the blanket, I leaned my head against Steed's chest as we looked out at the Atlantic Ocean. So much had changed since we got married. The main thing was my job. After Mr. Hines found out I was pregnant, I thought for sure he would fire me. But with Steed and Dad getting married over Christmas, the news of me being pregnant didn't seem to be an issue anymore. Even though it was obvious I had conceived before the wedding, Mr. Hines chose to ignore that little fact. Maybe our little town was growing with the times. I was pulled from my thoughts by Steed's hands, caressing the small baby bump that had popped out in the last few weeks. Last month, we had the sonogram that told us the sex of our baby. I wasn't gonna lie. We both breathed a sigh of relief to know we were only having one. Although, Chloe thought twins would have been super fun. For her.
How's my son doing today?
Steed asked, his hot breath trailing down my neck and giving me a warm sensation against the cold breeze coming off the Atlantic. He's doing good. I think I'm finally past the morning sickness. Thank God. Steed's soft lips kissed my neck, shooting a throbbing pain between my legs. If you keep doing that, I'm going to need some relief. A low growl came from his throat.
Fucking hell, Pax. My dick is rock hard now.
I laughed. Well, we have time before dinner. We were sitting outside the breathtaking little house we had rented for the week. It had been cold in Ireland, but not too cold. During the nights it got colder, but we didn't care. We had been too busy in bed, heating things up, to notice how cold it was outside. The days had warmed nicely, and had actually gotten up into the high 50s. For us, it was beautiful weather, coming from an already hot Texas.
"Shall we go inside?"
he asked. Nodding, I pushed off him and waited for him to stand and offer me his hand. That was Steed, so considerate and kind. He always put me and Chloe first, no matter what he did. After he lifted me up and slid his arm around my waist, we started to walk into the house. The same warmth I'd come to expect settled within my chest. My body tingled with the knowledge my husband was about to make love to me. Nothing else on earth was more amazing than Steed and me together. He led me into the bedroom and flashed me those dimples, making my knees go weak. He gently brushed the back of his hand down my cheek, and my body trembled. Other women craved food during pregnancy. I craved my husband's touch. It both thrilled me and calmed me at once.
"You look beautiful, Pax,"
he whispered, while his eyes roamed my face. The intensity caused my lower stomach to pull, and at the same time, my heart to melt at his sweet words. My hair had been in a pony to keep the wind from lashing it around, but I was sure it was a crazy mess nonetheless. I didn't have an ounce of makeup on. We'd been lazy that day, and decided not to sightsee, but to enjoy the amazing ocean view we had instead. I'd thrown on Steed's sweatpants and one of his sweatshirts that hung off of me. At best, I probably looked like I had just woken up from a good night's sleep. "I'm a mess," I stated with a chuckle. He shook his head.
"I've never seen you look more beautiful. Your wind-tossed hair and flushed cheeks. I could stare at you all day and never get tired of this view."
My stomach dipped. "How do you do it?" I asked, wrapping my arms around his neck.
"Do what?"
"Make me feel like I'm the most beautiful woman in the world." He looked at me like I had said the craziest thing ever, but it was true. Steve had a way of making both me and our daughter feel like we were his everything, the very air he breathed. The last few months were the best of my life. Steed worked the ranch during the day with his father and Cord, and the moment Chloe and I pulled up from school, he was there, wearing a smile and waiting to dish out amazing hugs and kisses for both of us. I soon found myself giddy with excitement as we drove down the long drive to the house, wondering what surprise he would have in store for us. For Chloe, it was always something with the animals. A new book, or piggyback ride, where he acted like a stallion. For me, it was something as simple as a single rose and a kiss. To a heart-shaped locket with our family portrait in it. Each day he offered us something. He spoiled us with love, and I couldn't imagine I could be any happier.
"Pax, you are the most beautiful woman in the world."
My eyes filled with tears as I realized that every day this man made me feel special, that my happiness grew each time he smiled at me, kissed me, held me in his arms, or whispered how much he loved me. I loved this man more than I loved anything. He was the reason I breathed. "Make love to me, Steed," I softly spoke as he slipped his hand around my neck and pulled my lips to his.
"It would be my pleasure."
This book is over, but the story continues. Keep listening after the credits to hear the beginning of Love Profound, Book 2 in the Cowboys and Angels series, free. This has been an Audible Studios production of Lost Love, Book 1 in the Cowboys and Angels series, written by Kelly Elliott, performed by Lauren Sweet and Joe Hempel. Executive Producer, Ryan McGavin and Mike Charzik. Producer, Neil Basic. Copyright 2017 by Kelly Elliott. Sound recording copyright 2017 by Audible, Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible, Inc. And now, a free preview of Love Profound, Book 2 in the Cowboys and Angels series.
Chapter 1. Amelia. Early March. I stared at my computer screen with a goofy smile on my face. "Come on, April. I'm on a deadline, sweetie. I need you to push that calf on out." "Who are you talking to?" I glanced over my shoulder as my smile grew bigger. "April." My brother Mitchell rolled his eyes. "The giraffe?" With a chuckle, I replied, "The one and only. Come on, tell me you're not the least bit curious about her." "I'm not the least bit curious about her." I huffed, turning back to my laptop. I was on a deadline with this book, and the last thing I really needed to be doing was staring at the ass of a giraffe. "Where is everyone?" Mitchell asked. "Well, Steed and Paxton are on their honeymoon, in case you forgot, and Mom and Dad took Chloe out for a ride. My older brother sat down in a chair, sighing. I knew about Steve and Paxton, smartass. I meant Mom, Dad, and Chloe. Are you off work today? What brings you by? I've got the week off, he said. I raised my eyebrows. And that's why you're here pouting? He frowned. I'm not pouting. You're pouting. I'm bored. I thought taking spring break off was a good idea, but I'm too used to working. Want to come to New York with me? I leave tomorrow morning to hang out with Waylon. Sister bonding trip and all. His eyes lit up. New York, huh? With an evil grin, I added, we can get drunk and have fun. By fun, I mean have meaningless sex with good-looking rich people. Mitchell laughed. Damn, I don't think I like the sound of my baby sister talking about fucking people. I said meaningless sex. I didn't say fucking. His head pulled back in surprise. Melly, isn't that the same thing? No. When you say fucking, it sounds vulgar. When I say have meaningless sex, it doesn't sound so bad. It's fucking, no matter how you spin it. I let out a long groan. Fine. You could go to New York and fuck a bunch of new women whom you haven't already fucked in the back of your truck before breaking their hearts when they quickly realize the only thing they're getting from you is your dick, and only long enough for them to call out your name a few times. His brows rose. Holy shit, do you always talk so filthy? My jaw fell when I stared at him, dumbfounded. Are you serious right now? He shook his head. Dad would wash your mouth out with soap if he heard his little angel talking that way. With a chuckle, I shook my head. Well, Dad would want to do a lot more to me if he knew all the things I've done. How do you think I write such hot sex? It's called on-the-job training. Flashing him another evil smile, I winked. Matter of fact, your friend Rodney might have taught me a new position or two. Mitchell's face turned red. He stood, nearly knocking over the bar stool he was sitting on. I'll fucking rip his dick off if he touched you. I grinned. He did a lot more than touch, big brother. Leaning back, I grabbed the table and started a pretend orgasm. Balling his fists, Mitchell's eyes nearly popped out of his head while he paced. I'll kill him. No, I'll lose my job if I kill him. I need to find someone who will kill him, but make him hurt first, for a long time. With a roar of laughter, I got up and walked over to him. Mitchell, do you honestly think one of your friends would ever touch me? Hell, half the guys in this town are afraid to even look at me, let alone sleep with me. Oh, wait, as you put it, fuck me. Don't say that. He covered his ears. I rolled my eyes. Sit back down and don't put a hit out on Rodney. He's a nice guy. I tried hitting on him once. I used my best moves and he turned me down flat. Said he valued his life over his dick. Mitchell's body relaxed and he let out a chuckle. You realize you almost had me wanting to kill one of my closest friends, Amelia? I shrugged. You do know I have had sex before, and with some people you know? He shuddered. Why are we having this conversation? You brought it up. No, I didn't. I simply said I was on vacation. You brought up having sex. My father, mother, and Chloe walked into the kitchen and stopped. Mom looked at me and asked, Who is having S-E-X? That spells sex, Chloe called out as she ran by all of us and headed into the game room. Lord almighty, that child is a good speller, Mom said. Back to my original question, who is having S-E... Oh, hell, sex. Mitchell, I said a little too quickly. He turned and glared at me. With a serious look, my mother said, I hope you're wearing a C-O-N... Standing, he held up his hands. Mom, please. Mitchell shot me the finger when my parents weren't looking, and I hid a smile behind my hands. Don't mom please me, young man. Practicing safe festivities is never anything to shy away from. My hands dropped to my lap as I stared at my mother. Festivities? Mitchell and I said it once. Little ears around, little ears, Mom said with a wink and a smile. Amelia, the same goes for you. A loud bang caused both my mother and me to let out a scream. Mitchell nearly jumped behind something to take cover. My dad stood in the doorway, a large roasting pan at his feet, with the contents of a roast and veggies scattered across the floor. His expression was horrified. Amelia, what? Standing, I chuckled and said, Well, I think this is the perfect time for me to go play with my niece. Later, y'all. I made my way into my old room, and I couldn't help but smile when I found Chloe on the floor playing with all of my old briar horses. As I slid to the ground, I spied my favorite one. Spirit, I said with a huge smile on my face. You named them all? She asked, with a tilt of her head. Turning the plastic horse in my hand, I nodded. If you look on their bellies, you'll see the name of that horse. Grammy couldn't remember them all, so she had to write them down. Chloe giggled. Is it okay that I'm playing with them, Aunt Mellie? I reached for another horse. Of course, Chloe. I got them down from my bedroom closet and gave them to your dad for you to play with. Her grin reached from ear to ear. Thank you. I hope Santa brings me my very own horse for Christmas, like Stanley is your very own horse. Oh, he totally will. It was out of my mouth before I could stop myself. Chloe's eyes lit up with hope and excitement, while I cringed secretly. Crap! I basically told her she was getting a horse for Christmas. Steed was going to kill me. Do you think Daddy and Mommy are having fun on their honeymoon? With a grin, I replied, I bet they are. Your mommy has always wanted to go to Ireland. Chloe picked up a horse and stared at it. Why the sad face? I brushed a piece of her blonde hair behind her ear. I wanted to go with them, but Daddy said I couldn't. I let out a soft chuckle. Oh, sweetie, I'm sure they are both missing you so much. Then why didn't they take me with them? Lord, how do I explain this? Well, when mommies and daddies get married, they always go on vacation by themselves. It's a way to celebrate becoming one. One? Those blue eyes were staring into mine. It's just a phrase. Phrase? A saying. Huh? I rolled my eyes. Never mind all of that. Okay, let's try this. Someday, when you get married, you'll go on a honeymoon with your husband, all alone. It's a tradition. She smiled. I like traditions. Let's make a tradition, Mellie, like playing with horses. Chloe grabbed another horse and fell right into a scene from one of her movies. Letting out a soft sigh, I mumbled, I should have started with that first. Chapter 2 Amelia. Are you sure you've got everything? Mom asked. I stared at my phone in shock. The live feed is down. Live feed? It's the damn giraffe, Mom. She is obsessed with it, Trevor said as he took my suitcase from my hand. My mother tisked, like only a mom could. Goodness, Amelia, do you not have anything else to do besides watch a pregnant giraffe all day? After I had hit refresh and April reappeared on the screen, I dropped my phone into my purse. Yes, I've got a book due in 3 weeks. I need inspiration to get me writing. And staring at a giraffe's ass is doing it for you? Trevor asked. I hit him on the arm. Shut up. You know how much I love the anticipation of her birth. When I found out about April, I fell in love. Now I need to see her through to the very end. Like when you're reading a good series and you have to finish it. So you make sure everyone gets their yeah. Both Mom and Trevor rolled their eyes. With a slight chuckle, Trevor said, Come on, let's get you to the airport. By the way, I'm picking up Wade a few hours after you take off. Narrowing my brows, I asked, Wade? Trevor shut the back door and faced me. Yeah, I went to Texas A&M with him. He was a year ahead of me. Has a degree in agriculture. Why is he coming here? He smiled and winked. I hired him for the ranch. I could see the happiness in my brother's eyes. My father knew how much Trevor loved this ranch. Not that my other brothers didn't, but Trevor lived for it. His goal was to take over the ranch from our father and run the day-to-day business. Mom entwined her arm with mine. He's proud of you, Trevor. The things you're doing for the ranch do not go unnoticed. I smiled as my brother tipped his hat to our mother and leaned in to kiss her cheek. We best get on the road if we want to get you there on time, Melly. Nodding, I faced Mom. I'll miss you. Her hand landed softly on the side of my face. Sweet, loving eyes stared into mine. I'll miss you, sweetheart. Tell Waylon I miss her, and I can't wait to see her again. My hand covered Mom's. I will. I'll only be gone 2 weeks. She smiled and stepped to the side as I climbed up into Trevor's truck. I rolled the window down and waved. Oh, if Steed asks, it wasn't me who gave Chloe the idea of a horse for Christmas. Her grin faded. She closed her eyes and shook her head while Trevor lost it laughing. The 2-hour drive to the San Antonio airport seemed to drag. Trevor was listening to some sports talk show on the radio, and I was about to pull my hair out from boredom. So, who is this Wade guy? I asked. Reaching over to turn the radio down, Trevor peered at me before looking straight ahead. I already told you. No, you told me you went to school with him, and that he was coming to work at the ranch. What made you want to hire him? You have a degree in ranch management. He chuckled. Yeah, well, his degree goes more into the science side of running a ranch. The land, food the cattle graze on, benefits of going organic, all of that. Organic? Y'all are switching over to organic? With a shrug, he replied, I don't know. That's where Wade will come into play. The guy is smart as all get out when it comes to cattle. Hell, not just cattle. He's already working on a side gig with some girl in Fredericksburg who makes all-natural products from goat's milk. She's looking to find someone to buy it from, and Wade's thinking we might be able to sell her some of our goat milk for her products. Wow. Wade sounds like a go-getter. Where has he been working? His daddy's place in Colorado. I turned to Trevor. Colorado? Yeah. Why do you sound so surprised? With a silent chuckle, I shook my head, staring back out the front window. Not surprised. Tickled, I guess you could say. My latest book is based in Colorado. I was actually thinking of taking a trip up there. In my mind, I pictured this Wade character as a skinny, nerdy cowboy who loved science, but not enough to give up his roots. Were y'all good friends in college? Trevor laughed. Yeah, we were. He took me under his wing when I started partying a little too hard. He's more of a book guy over a partying guy. Ding, ding, ding. Yep, cowboy nerd. Well, maybe he can help me out if I have any questions about Colorado. Trevor laughed. Oh, trust me. He'll help you with anything the moment he sees you. I was about to ask what he meant, but Trevor pulled up to the curb and put his truck in park. All right. Have a safe flight, little sis, and kiss Waylon for me. I jumped out of his truck and waited for him to get my suitcase from the back seat. I will. And be careful driving back home, okay? With a full-on smile, dimples to boot, Trevor wrapped me up in his arms. I love you, Melly. I hugged him back. I love you more, Trev. Standing on the curb, I watched as he drove off to kill time before Wade showed up. I reached for my suitcase and headed into the airport, where I checked in and made my way to the gate. As I sat waiting, I stared at the blank Word document in front of me. This was the worst case of writer's block I'd ever had. Shit, shit, shit. What was wrong with me? I chuckled. I knew what was wrong. I needed to get laid. It had been far too long, pretty much ever since Ryan, my ex, the one guy I opened my heart for only to have him stomp on it, the cheating, rotten bastard. I'd been with a couple of guys since, but nothing serious. After staring at the screen for 10 minutes, I packed up my laptop and began one of my all-time favorite activities. Well, other than watching to see if April had given birth yet. I people-watched. Unfortunately, all the happy couples around left me snarling. Ugh. The one sitting across from me seriously needed to get a hotel room. Rolling my eyes, I looked away. I didn't want to admit my heart ached to have a man look at me that way. I wrote about love, but it seemed I was destined to never find it. Another couple caught my attention. The man gently placed his hand on the side of the woman's face, smiling at her with so much love, I wasn't sure if I should cry or scream. Then he leaned in and gave her the sweetest kiss. "Stupid freaking love," I mumbled, as I reached into my oversized purse and pulled out my favorite go-to book, The Lace Reader, by Brunonia Berry. I was soon lost in Towner's story and quickly forgot about my own real-world problems. Chapter 3. Amelia. My sister's scream echoed through the airport and caused me to let out a wail of my own. The second I saw her, I rushed to her open arms. "Waylon!" I cried, as she wrapped me in a hug and held tight. "I'm so glad you're here," she whispered, in the saddest voice I'd ever heard. Pulling back, I searched her face. "What's wrong?" She shook her head. "Nothing. Everything is amazing now that we're together." Something deep in my gut told me she was lying through her teeth. I could see it in her eyes. We might have been 10 years apart in age, but we were closer than if we had been twins. It was Waylon who got me drunk for the first time, taught me the proper way to French kiss a guy, and even showed me how to give a hand job on an oversized cucumber. The things she and I got into, if my father ever found out, he would have put us both in a convent. "What trouble are we after?" Waylon asked as she hooked her arm with mine and guided me to the luggage area. Her forced smile wasn't lost on me. "Well, if I don't manage to get laid in New York City, then we have a serious problem." My older sister let out a chuckle. "First on our list of things to do, get you laid." I dropped my head back and looked up to the heavens. Thank God. "You know, you don't have to stay in a hotel, Melly." Dropping my computer bag in the desk chair, I faced my sister. "I know, but I'm more comfortable here. Besides, I know Jack doesn't care for me." Waylon sighed and sat on the edge of the bed. "Jack doesn't care for anyone but Jack." I leaned against the desk. "We've been worried, Waylon. Mom asked me to do some digging while I was here. Things aren't good with y'all?" She let out a fake chuckle. "I figured as much, especially with how often Mom texts, asking how things are going." Waylon sighed heavily. "No, things aren't good. He's never home, always on business trips, and when he is here, there's always some damn function I need to attend to represent him like I'm a window dressing at Macy's." I huffed. "You realize you're nothing but his arm candy, Waylon. Why do you put up with him?" With a frown, she stood. "I love him. Or at least, I used to love him. These days, I'm not so sure how I feel anymore. My heart broke for my sister as I walked over and held her tightly. I'm so sorry, Waylon. I know how much he's meant to you. She let out a sniffle, but then pulled back, her facade in place again. Let's go cause some shit. You're in New York, after all. I grinned and shook my head, letting it go for now. Sounds like a plan. We spent the rest of the day exploring the West Village in New York City and eating everything we could get our hands on. By the time I got back to my hotel, I was feeling sick to my stomach. When Waylon's text came through, I groaned in protest as I dragged my ass off the bed and over to my phone. Waylon, I've got us an invite to the electric room! ! My heart jumped with excitement. I smiled and replied. Me. Are you shitting me? ? Waylon, do you know how hard it is to get into that place? ? Waylon. LOL! ! Yes! ! I'll have Jack's driver get me at 11, and then we'll pick you up. Sound good? ? Me. Yes! ! I'll be ready. The next text I sent off was to my best friend Jen, back in Oak Springs. Me. You'll never guess what? ! Jen. I bet I can play this game better. But what? My curiosity piqued. Me. You think you've got something better than me? Jen. Oh, I'm almost positive I've got something better. Bookworthy. My brows lifted, and I hit her number. Hey, Jen panted. Are you running or something? Yep. I needed to clear my head. This had to be bad. Jen never ran. What happened? Are you sitting down? I sat on the edge of the bed. Yeah? I had sex with Martin. My eyes widened in shock. Martin? As in the hot UPS guy? Jen groaned. Oh, God, Amelia, I'm going to go to hell. Laughing, I dropped back on the bed and stared at the ceiling. Why? 'Cause you had sex with a hot guy? He delivered my latest bob, and I might have slipped and told him what it was. He asked me about it, and I thought I was being cute by asking if he wanted to help me try it out. I shot up to sitting. You did not. I did. And before I knew it, I was saying yes, and we were all over each other, clothes flying. We didn't even make it to my bedroom. He fucked me with my brand new vibrator in the damn hall, and then again with his rather large dick in the living room. I covered my mouth to keep from laughing and stood up. I knew he was big. You could just tell. Jen groaned again, this time louder. I had sex with the UPS guy. I'm like one of those lonely housewives who ends up having an affair with the mailman or the pool boy. I chuckle. It's kind of funny. And how can you have an affair when you're not even married? Yeah, I guess so. Did you have fun? The silence on the other end of the phone was my answer. She had liked it, but was too embarrassed to admit it. Am I a slut if I say I did? And that he's coming back over tonight? No, you're not a slut. You're a woman and he's a guy, and y'all have flirted since high school. Hey, wait. Wasn't he engaged to Melanie Ann? Yeah, but they split up. I keep thinking, how many other women does he fuck when he makes deliveries? Is he like the naughty Santa bringing the special packages to only the good and bad women around town? Oh, my God, what have I done? I chewed my lip. The same thought had crossed my mind almost at the exact same time that Jen voiced it. Not all men are pigs, Jen. Just the ones I date. I think you're pretty safe. She laughed, and I could hear the shower turn on. I better get into the shower. He'll be here soon. I'm making dinner, and then we're heading over to Cord's place. If you're worried about it, ask him. But for now, have fun. I will, on both accounts. And you too. Hook up with some rich business guy who wants to bend you over his desk and take you from behind. Those things only happen in my books, Jen. Well, so does sleeping with the UPS driver, and look at me. We both laughed as we said our goodbyes. After hanging up, I made my way onto the balcony of my suite. New York City was breathtaking, but it didn't hold a candle to the view from my parents' back porch. I'd take that over this any day. Sitting in a chair, I blew out a deep breath. I was happy for Jen. She deserved to find someone, whether it was an old high school crush or some rich oil tycoon. She longed for love, like I had once, until my heart was shattered into a million pieces. The memory hit me full force. The knock on Ryan's door went unanswered. I was about to turn and leave when I reached for the doorknob to try it. Open. Smiling, I made my way into his parents' house. We were both home on spring break, the last one of our senior year before we graduated from Texas A&M. I made my way through the house, wondering where Ryan was. His truck was in the driveway, so I knew he was here somewhere. The loud bang from upstairs caused me to climb the stairs. I opened my mouth to call out Ryan's name when I heard a moan, a female-sounding moan. My heart seized tightly in my chest. Yes, yes, that feels so good. My hand covered my mouth as I walked up the last of the steps. The moans grew louder. Ryan's mixed with what sounded like two other women. A sickness rolled through my body and settled right in the pit of my stomach. Yes, Ryan, yes! I stopped outside his parents' room where the voices were coming from. Angelica, God, you feel amazing. Who was Angelica? Everything in me screamed that I should run. Instead, I reached for the door handle and turned. The door opened slowly, and I couldn't believe my eyes. Ryan was in bed with not only one woman, but two. He was screwing one while the other watched and got herself off. The girl sitting off to the side looked at me. Sorry, honey, I'm next. The room started to spin, and the only thing I could do was stand there like an idiot and watch the man I'd given my heart to screw some woman while he sucked on the tit of another one. Having fun? I finally managed. Ryan quickly pulled out of the girl and jumped off the bed, not even bothering to cover himself. His floozies also didn't seem to care that they had been caught naked. Amelia, what are you doing here? I didn't think you were coming home until tomorrow. Without answering, I slipped the engagement ring on my finger off and threw it as hard as I could at him. Don't even think of contacting me. If you do, I'll tell my father what I walked in on. Spinning on my heel, I headed out of the bedroom, down the stairs, and out of the house, never once letting the burning tears fall. The knock on the hotel door pulled me out of the memory. I made my way through the room and opened the door. A bellman stood there holding a dress bag. Delivery for Amelia Parker. That's me, I said with a smile, and took the bag and envelope from him. One second. After giving him a tip, I laid the bag on the bed and pulled it up to reveal a beautiful black-and-white cocktail dress. Opening the envelope, I found a note from Waylon. Jack bought me this dress a few weeks ago, but I think it will look beautiful on you. See you after 11. Smiling like a silly girl, I stripped out of my clothes and headed to the shower. Tonight, I wasn't going to think about old boyfriends and broken hearts. I was going to drink and have fun.
We hope you enjoyed this free preview of Love Profound, Book 2 in the Cowboys and Angels series. To keep the story going, get the complete book today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.